Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah.
So, interesting New Year, Kunal. Very foggy across India.
Yeah.
A lot of fog. You haven't gone anywhere. You are in Bombay.
Well, I went to Delhi and I came back. So now, as you can hear, my throat has been completely ruined.
They're not used to oxygen in Delhi. It's not something they're... accustomed.
You know, I thought it would be quite, like it would be some sort of gas chamber, but it was actually better than Bombay.
Yeah, Bombay's AQI is quite terrible.
Yeah, so I actually felt like I was breathing in Delhi, which is very strange.
It's strange for Delhi.
I came back to Bombay and I think I got this here. But it's been bad.
When planes land now across India... in any part of India, when you fly, you actually can't see the city even after you touch down. You know, even after the plane touches down, you really have to look to see the city because it's just smog everywhere. From about 6 till 9 in the morning in any major Indian city, this time of year, you can't see another person. It's a great time to commit crimes.
I mean, and especially when the plane is landing, it feels like it's landing from a cloud into a cloud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like then, and then there'll be a semblance of some runway. And I think it's all, I don't know how the pilots do it, but I guess they know their way around. But you can't see shit. You can't see anything.
It's very difficult. Very difficult. And Indian customers are quite an irate lot. They don't really care about their safety, I don't think. Because the pilot says, you know, there's a fog. I can't take off. I can't land.
I can't see anything.
I can't see anything. This is not safe for me to do with put take your life in my hand. And they are like, you know, then why can't you do your job? Why can't you do your job? You know, other planes are leaving. You know, there's always a counter thing we have. You know, like, first podcast of the year we're doing, Kunal, and... what happened recently is that on an IndiGo flight, a guy had enough after he was waiting for 7 or 8 hours and he smacked the pilot. He ran off and he was going to smack the pilot and he told him in Hindi, "Chalana to chal, nahi to darwaza khol." You want to fly this plane, you fly or open the door. And I just wanted your view on whether you thought violence... is a good way to get attention if you are an ignored customer.
Well, violence is a good way to get attention. I don't know whether it's the right kind of attention that you'll get because you'll be charged with some sort of terrorist act or something.
He's been arrested.
And I mean, he'll be arrested, he'll be out on bail, whatever. But basically, especially on a plane, if you're violent, it gets very serious, right? Like, it's immediately the worst thing that you could have done. Like, if you're violent at a restaurant, it's okay. If you're violent, you know, like, if you're violent on the road, road rage, like, little bit of, like, a little fight. But as soon as the same fight, even if it's not as big, but if it's a little bit of aggression on a plane, which is generally a pressurized tube, like thousands of miles in the air, it is exponentially
worse.
So even if you raise your voice and don't hit, but if you act like you're hitting on a plane, even if you do, and you just put your hand up and say, "Hey, marunga, marunga." If you do that, as opposed to actually hit someone on the ground, when you hit someone on the ground, at the most, you know, the police will break up the fight and they'll say, "Ghar jao, ghar jao." Idhar ye sab nahi chalega, bhai, ghar jao. That's the extent. But if you raise your hand on a plane, like you don't have to really hit anyone. I don't know what this guy actually must have hit the pilot. I'm not quite sure. But even if you just do, "Hey," and you act like you're hitting someone, it's 40 years, I think.
I think 30, 40 years. Life in jail, I think.
It's a life. So you really need to think hard.
But if you are
it's violence
like
in a pressurized zone.
If you're a North Indian kind of person, where you're not too far away from violence at any given point, I don't think these guys have thought through the consequences, because they take the same road rage that they would have in Gurgaon or Noida, or the road rage they would have against a bouncer in any of these places into this environment. You know, they're like, delay kar raha hai, sala, delay kar raha hai, delay kar raha hai. You know, and then they take
kidhar hai mera bat, kidhar hai mera bat. You know, and like, he'll go to that. And the thing is that if you pull out a bat or a stump on a plane or a hockey stick, you know, which they have generally in the boot of their car. Now, there is a very normal thing. And that's why I think that violence, you have to put it in context of where it is.
Where are you doing it?
Where are you doing violence?
I want to ask you a question. Now that we're talking about this, where is it okay? Like, do you think, I've got a couple of options I would give you. Say violence on a merry-go-round.
Say, that's what I was just thinking. Like, if you're on a Ferris wheel or a merry-go-round.
Yeah. Say you're at a merry-go-round with those horses going up and down. You're with your kid, some other guy's with his kid. And you start punching him. You know, like, sala, mera ghoda chori kya. And you start hitting him. You won't get, how much jail will you get? You'll get a couple of, because it's still a controlled environment.
It's a controlled environment, but again, see the environment now, generally a merry-go-round with the horses and all, will have a lot of children in the vicinity.
You know, you might smack one of them by mistake.
You might smack one of them. You might kick one of them off a horse, you know. Like if you're doing that thing that the two knights do across, you know, while they're on horses and they with a huge steeple pole
jousting
on a merry-go-round, you're not going to get very far because it's going to go round and round in circles. But, you know, if you attempt any of these things, the children might be affected as even witnesses to this.
Yeah.
You know, so what you'll be punished for is ruining merry-go-rounds for so many children.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for your actions.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like, Ari, now he's like, a merry-go-round will all be a traumatic thing for so many kids who witness this.
Akanksha, you want to go on a merry-go-round?
Never,
Papa.
I can't.
That uncle murdered that other uncle. You know,
yeah.
So that will always be. What about Ferris wheel? Ferris wheel is okay?
The Ferris wheel, in any case, it's that risk of being, you know, like you're getting butterflies in your stomach while you're coming down. Now, like a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel, in any case, you're tense.
Yeah.
But now violence over there, say, you know, and I'm sure there have been cases where someone's like, don't touch my girl, don't touch my girl. And they like bend backwards, and while the Ferris wheel or the roller coaster is on its way down, attempts to punch someone at the back.
The guy in the box behind him.
Yeah. You know, and he's trying to box someone. He's like, move your leg.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff is going on. But at the same time, you're also feeling those butterflies, you know. So it's like, hey, move your leg. And then move your leg, you know. So it's like,
tricky. Yesterday, I heard a story where a friend of mine punched the class teacher of his son's school. Because for 4 years, he was going to that parent-teacher meeting. And for 4 years, the teacher was saying, your son is an idiot. There's no hope. In year four, he punched him.
Why? Because he realized that was not his son that he was talking about. He was talking about some other child. Oh, this is your son. No, your son is very good.
Punched him. Because I think he had it. Because he kept saying, your son has no hope. And I guess he didn't want to take shit about his son. Because I guess...
So he punched him.
He punched him. Now... What do you think about that environment for violence? Because there's no debate here. Because the teacher thinks the son has no hope. His son is an idiot. He thinks his son is brilliant. Violence seems to be the only option there.
Well, no, violence is not the only option. Violence, but
he could put his child in another school.
Another school. He could just like not go. He could walk away.
Yeah.
He could say this is all bullshit. There are many options. Violence is one of the options. It's not the only option.
But it's environment specific.
He could
also
say, I'm taking off all my clothes and going to sleep in this classroom. He could say anything. As in, you could have any response to any stimuli. Like,
and that is not a response the teacher's expecting. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, apparently after the violence, this year when he went back, the teacher was much nicer, he said.
Hmm.
Because he went back, it all got calmed down. He didn't get any jail. The other guy didn't file any charges. But he said the teacher was much nicer to him. Because a little scared.
But was the son any better in his studies?
He said in some areas your son has improved. Because I think he was also scared of getting smacked in the face.
So he was doing it with one eye closed, like just like slightly. His head slightly down. Half expecting another punch. He has improved in some areas. Don't slap, huh? Don't slap.
And also, I think, again, as a irate customer, if you're not getting attention, and I'm saying that, say, in a restaurant, if your food is late, you don't have to hit the waiter. Even if you hit the customer next to you, you'll get attention.
You'll still get attention, yeah. You
know, sometimes people just do it for attention. You know, like, I guess he's been waiting a long time at the airport. People are constantly lying to him. So he just, even if he had, instead of the pilot, if he just smacked the passenger next to him, who was quietly sitting, at least then people are like, you know, passengers are getting really irritated. They're slapping other passengers who haven't done anything. You know, it's going there. I think that depends.
Violence has broken out is a much nicer way.
Violence has broken
out. Captain, violence has broken out amongst the passengers.
It's much nicer than violence.
Yeah.
Captain, they're coming to beat you up. It's better than that.
Yeah.
But last question, like, what happens? Like, for example, we are used to violence in, say, certain kinds of music concerts, right? Like, it would not be uncommon to hear of violence at a rock concert or even at a Badshah concert. But what if there was violence in a classical Indian music concert? Like in Central Park in New York, every summer, over 3 days, they do a free classical music in the park. You know, wine, cheese, people go. It's very sophisticated. The New York Symphony plays classical music and everyone goes to Central Park with a little blanket and they sit there, wine, cheese, they listen to classical music. And there was some issue over someone stepping on someone else's carpet, spilling some wine, and it got violent. You know, and in the distance, Bach or Mozart is playing and two guys are elbowing each other. And I want to know, this is my last thing I want to say about violence, what your view is when the violence is in a very sophisticated kind of venue, like in a funeral, you know, or a place like this, like whether you like that especially, whether it's more interesting.
I definitely like the placement of violence. I think that's very important. Like, if it's in a place where you expect it, then it's quite boring. But, you know,
like in a heavy metal concert,
As in, like, that, you'll expect a little bit of, like, you know, headbanging, someone's head bangs into someone. Or like a, but you know, when you don't expect it, it's always
in a and I think funerals are always good. You know, you've come to remember a man, other people get into a fight. Say Hindustan classical music concert, like you go to say Amjad Ali Khan playing the sarod at somewhere beautiful like Amir Fort or Victoria Memorial, and three people going get into a violent sort of thing. It's uncommon and therefore quite fun, actually.
Yeah, much better.
Much, much better. Kunal, we were just talking very quickly about, just a quick conundrum, not a conundrum, but we were talking about logistics and you brought up a film, an Oscar-winning film called Babylon, which I really want to see. I think it's on one of the streaming platforms. And the first scene of that film, it's the same guy that made La La Land. The first scene of that film is about a Hollywood party. And they're trying to show a Hollywood party from the 20s, which had champagne and it was crazy parties. They had animals and, you know, naked women running around. And they're trying to show you the party. But they're trying to show you how the party is being brought together. And the famed Hollywood parties of the 20s had elephants, right? It had animals and stuff and women dancing. And the film begins with them trying to get an elephant into a party.
Right. And I think it's, I mean, I'm yet to watch the whole movie, but what caught me and why I'm so fascinated, because the first scene is just them trying to get this elephant in this truck up a hill to get finally to this mansion in the middle of pretty much like a desert.
Yeah.
And the difficulty of that, you know, but it's very exciting. I mean, but it's also quite crazy that, you know, when you think of, oh, there were crocodiles at the party, there was elephants, there were giraffes, but then you think, yeah, but how did they get there?
Someone
had to physically bring it, right?
And small logistics of grand events is something that has fascinated us. I, for a long time, was fascinated by Bollywood villains. Especially the villain Shakal in the movie Shaan from 1982, I think, because he had an underwater hideout near Bombay, and his underwater hideout had crocodiles.
Or was it sharks?
Sharks, sorry. He had sharks and crocodiles. He had both. And it was a copy of Dr. No, and he was a villain. And the way he tortured even his own people, some of his own people, but often people, you know, like people he wanted killed, is he would bring them and he would kind of lock their hands in these automatic chairs, and the chair itself would fall into this, I guess it is an aquarium, but it's also like this floating little room that he had in his hideout that was constantly revolving. And sometimes the chair would disengage and fall into the sea. And his pet crocodiles and sharks would eat the guy he wanted dead. And like you were saying, that's a lot of logistics. You know, like the house, the revolving chairs had to be constantly revolving. You know, the chair had to dislodge and fall into the aquarium at the right time. The crocodiles and the sharks had to be constantly maintained. The water had to be cleaned in the pool.
Because, like, then you think back that who is doing the housekeeping of these places? You know, who's doing the management? Because it's an estate management thing.
It's an estate management problem.
It's a problem. So I'm saying that, like, if something is, like, if that chair that's supposed to fall backwards or whatever swivel, and it's squeaking a lot, you know, it's going and so then you have very small. Very small problems that need solving, right? So then he's going to need that WD-40. He's going to say, kidhar hai WD-40? Leke rao, spray karo chair ko. Kitni baar bola hai ki ye squeak kar raha hai chair. Nahi chalega aise.
Arre, agar main Amitabh Bachchan ko gira nahi sakunga aquarium mein, usko magarmach khayega kaise?
Yeah.
You know, so he has basic problems. And also,
basic issues.
For a long time, I wanted to write a film about Shakal's hideout logistical issues, because his hideout was out in the sea, so off the coast of Maharashtra. So if they're getting the crocodiles, where are they getting them from? You know, like they had to go all the way, you know, through Maharashtra, and customs will stop them. There were checkpoints, so they must have said that ye nahi crocodile ke liye octroi dena padega. Octroi license kahan hai iska?
और परमिट किधर है इसका परमिट किधर है क्रोकोडाइल के लिए
नहीं
एक मिनट मैं साहब को फोन करता हूँ शाकाल साहब अरे क्या है चार बजे हो गया सुबह का चार बजे क्या कर रहे हैं तुम सर आपका वो क्रोकोडाइल रुका है इधर क्रोकोडाइल नहीं लेने जा रहा है he's like कौन है उधर
सापले है सापले को फोन दो
सापले नहीं है सर वो छुट्टी पे All that shit will be going on.
Crocodiles won't reach. It's never seamless. You know, like in India, it's not seamless.
Yeah, and I think that's the fascination that when you see, like for us at least as Indians, whenever you see a place and you see all the elements in it, like, are, where did he get this from? It's not like, how did he afford it? You know, afford to anyone can afford. You're amazed at the logistics for it landing up there.
You know, sometimes they'll show you a nightclub scene, you know, where people are partying like crazy. And it'll be like a drone type shot of the whole nightclub and people going crazy. And you'll notice there'll be some women, like semi-nude, who'll be dancing in a swing. You know, they'll be above the nightclub, you know, dancing in some sort of a cage yeah. or a booth.
Yeah.
So they also must be like, you know, I need a break after 20, 30 minutes. I need a toilet break. You know, like, I would love to be in a room of their negotiation also.
Yeah, as in like every production controller line producer has to deal with all these questions.
I'll get you a beautiful woman. That's no problem. But she, every half hour, she'll need a smoke break.
Yeah. You know? She only eats gobi manchurian. No? She loves it. So then she'll dance in the cage after that. Gobi manchurian and chapati. She likes that combination.
So she's going to be a green room for her. She'll have the gobi manchurian that she'll come out. Because the goal is that it's supposed to show that it's a hopping nightclub. You know, like these girls are dancing in cages voluntarily. But it's not there. You know, like they are recruits.
It doesn't exist.
It's recruited.
I also love the problems that like Indian directors and producers pose for their line producers. You know?
I want a nightclub scene.
Yeah. Swings hone chahiye, cages. I'm saying like, you know, all this stuff is going on. And our line producers are very ready now with all these answers, you know, because they've been through the grind.
Yeah.
They know who, where to get the swing from, how to arrange all these things.
And that's the thing. It's like our screenwriters also write scenes like that, right? Like they'll say, they'll not write a scene where it'll say it's a normal party. Like say something's happened. We want to see a rich villain celebrating. And it should be in a nightclub in Macau. And it should be champagne flowing. I want girls dancing in swings. It has to be the wildest party scene ever shot. And Dheeraj, the line producer, who's landed in Macau that morning, by 6 o'clock, he has to make that happen.
Happen, yeah.
You know, like, he's like, I'd asked for hati bola tha, hati kyun nahi? You know, like, giraffe bola tha ye party mein. You know, like, and somehow, if you want to know the true Indian heroes, it's Dheeraj.
Yeah.
You know, because he has to pull off all these extras who have to look like they're having fun. All of this.
That is amazing.
Have you ever shot a scene where you thought to yourself when you walked into the room? Because they'll get you out of the vanity, I guess, quite late. Like, how did they do this? Have you ever sort of been in a room like, just not making fun of it, but just in awe of it? Like, how did they pull this off?
Yeah, no, as in, I've shot in very strange places where I wonder what I was doing there.
Mm.
You know, how are we shooting this film here? But I guess the setups have I've been a part of a film where we've blocked off a whole square in a town in Italy to shoot that one scene. And then you wonder at those times, you know, wow, this is amazing. You're able to really, you know, block off a whole area in a city, in a town.
And what about that shop? How did they close that shop? How did they convince that guy?
How much did they pay to each one of these people to stay out of our hair for so long?
Yeah.
You know, it's a complex thing. But, and ultimately, the scene doesn't make it to the film also. So, I mean, that's also pretty amazing, you know.
That is quite
tragic. Insignificant. Yeah.
But also what's superhuman is that, like, you are from an Indian film crew. Say you go to an Italian shop. Say he's a butcher. No matter how much you're paying him, you have to convince this Italian butcher to keep his shop shut for 2-3 hours. Because, say, some big South Indian hero wants to drive by in his sports car.
Right.
Now, the Italian guy has never heard of this South Indian guy. You know, like, why would he keep his shop shut?
Yeah.
Then you start showing him how big the South Indian guy is. You know, I think to me, that is a better film. You know, like the logistics of convincing this guy, you know, that he needs to shut his shop.
That is definitely a big film.
I think that is the film. Kunal, quick conundrum I have for you. Quick conundrum. This is a conundrum I have for the toughest job in the world. I went to a museum of solutions in Mumbai. And one security guard was in charge of controlling a load of children. Museum of Solutions is a children's museum in Bombay. And they were not allowed to enter till 3 p.m. That was the thing. So basically, the mothers and the kids got there at about 2:30. And what I noticed for half an hour is that the mothers had nothing to do with the kids because they didn't know the rule of the place. So they had said that it's open till 3 o'clock. So they unleashed their children on the security guard. And the guard, all the children did for half an hour was kept hitting the security guard in the balls and just bashing him up. And the security guard kept saying, "Teen baje khulega, teen baje khulega." By the end of it, he was in tears. And like Gulliver's Travels, they were almost going to bring him down, you know, like 50-100 children were going to bring him down, tie him up and beat the crap out of him. And I just thought, if you thought this is the worst job, do you think this is the worst job in the world? To be in charge of a kids museum and then be told 3 baje se pehle kisi ko andar nahi jaane dena.
Yeah, it's quite a bad job. I mean, there are bad jobs.
Yeah.
This is a, I think it's part of the exhibit though, in the Museum of Solutions, because I think that the first thing that before it offers you, before it offers you solutions, it offers you a problem.
Yes.
And the problem is that the guard is blocking the entry.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there is a solution. Yeah. I think that they chose violence, you know, like.
Good to start
like
early.
Which is always a choice. But they clearly chose wrong because he didn't let them through, you know. He faced the music, he got hit in the balls, all of that. These kids, but I think the kids learned a valuable lesson here that violence is not the solution.
No matter how many times you kick him, he will not let you in till 3 o'clock.
So it is a difficult job, but it is a good job to teach them about solutions. How they can't come from violence.
Ram Singh, jo bhi bachcha tumhe marega, tum khada rahega.
Khada rahega, hilega nahi.
Wo log agar magarmach se bhi tumko phek dega, tum khada rahega. You know?
Tum darega nahi.
Shakal saab bhi aega, bolega, I'm going to have you eaten by sharks, tum khada rahega. And he stood his ground.
Tum marega nahi.
He stood his ground. The children, if anything, lost. You know, I think
they lost. And they had to go inside the museum to find solutions.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they found.
At 3 o'clock, you know, no sooner.
At 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Kunal, we have a listener conundrum, a lovely listener conundrum from a lovely lady called Shriya Srinath who listens to us.
Hello.
And she's, hi Shriya. And she said, hi. So, and she gets into the conundrum right away. So there's this guy I like.
Yeah.
But when I was 13 years old, I put an egg in his shoe. Why? Because he didn't play basketball with me. And then I wrote him a letter saying I hate him. And I signed my name backwards. Okay? Now I'm 17 and I still like him. What should I do? So she has a problem. She clearly has a problem. This guy is not not responding to him. I think if she started with violence, again, violence, she put an egg in his shoe, she said she hates him.
Yeah.
I think suddenly if she still likes him, and if he has to like her back, it has to be a violence-based romance. Because that's how she's established the basic rules.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, like, to reverse this situation, I think she needs to do all of these things in reverse.
In reverse.
Right? Like, so, if you've written him a letter saying, I hate you with your name signed backwards, then you write him a letter saying, I like you with your name signed the correct way around.
Forwards, yeah.
Forwards. So, he knows who it's from. Then, to undo the egg in the shoe, maybe y'all should go out for breakfast have eggs instead of saying, you know, that it's not in the shoe and it's in the plate.
Yeah, I'm different now. I'm a different person.
I'm a different person. I don't like my eggs in shoes anymore.
Yeah. I like it. So, I like it on a plate. And he's like, but what about you hate me? You put an egg in my shoe. And you're like, oh, that was a different me. That was me reverse. Now it's me.
Yeah.
Forward, going forward.
Yeah.
Or maybe what she likes, maybe she likes him, but what she likes is fucking with him. Maybe that's what it is. that maybe what she likes about him is the hate. You know, that he doesn't play with me. I like to hit him. I like to ruin his shoes. I want to set him on fire. So maybe she needs to reevaluate the word like. Because one of the ways to show it is, hey, you want to play basketball? No, I don't want to play basketball. Okay. I guess we'll move on with our lives. It's another thing to say, you don't want to play basketball? Okay. I'm going to put some eggs in your shoe and I'm going to take all your clothes and make a stew out of it. You know, that's another approach. Because from there, I think building a sustainable friendship is difficult.
But it depends, you know. Like, I see a lot of relationships start that way, you know. Like, you try to feed them to piranhas and then, you know, you're like...
It evolves into love.
Remember that time? Remember that time I tried to run over you? Like, it's like, it starts over there. How come you don't do that anymore? You know, it'll get into that. How come you don't put eggs in my shoes anymore? You know, it's going to be like that. Like, I don't know, like, people are pretty messed up. Like, they're going to reminisce about it at some stage.
So you're saying it starts with violence. You know,
yeah.
They're like, remember the time you tried to shoot me in the face and kill my whole family? You don't do that anymore. It's changed.
Sad.
We've become so boring.
Yeah. Where's all that spark gone?
So, this is not just a podcast for conundrums. We also give relationship advice. And so, what we're saying here is that sometimes if a relationship starts with some violence, you know, and some threats and sabotage, that may not necessarily be a bad thing. Like, that could give you the spark, literally the spark that you need.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So maybe if you want to like him, maybe calm down for a bit, then go back to, you know, I don't know, putting, I don't know, grease in his clothes. I don't know, whatever various things of sabotage Shreya wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good luck to you. My only hope is that I never run into Shreya Srinath in life. just from a sabotage perspective. But good luck to the young man that she likes. And I hope they have a hospital-free life. That's all I can wish for.
Yeah.
This has been Our Last Week, Kunal.
It has.
And we are back from our break. And we will try to do quick digestible conundrums for 2024. For our listeners who we have missed over the holidays, we hope everyone is still alive from our listeners and still listening. If you are not, well, then this was not a very good start to 2024 for you if you are dead. But if you are alive, if you are dead, then it is what it is. But if you are alive and listening, we are here. At ourlastweek@audiomatic.in and at patreon.com/ourlastweek. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.